الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. وقال تعالى: إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, as we are well aware that we are now in this Mubarak month of Rajab. This month of Rajab is one of the four sacred months in Islam: Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, and the fourth month is the month of Rajab. As Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid, that the Islamic calendar year comprises of 12 months, and from amongst the 12 months, 4 months are regarded as sacred. Minha arba'atun hurum. 4 months in the calendar year, they are regarded as sacred. And this month of Rajab is one of them. This month of Rajab has many, many benefits, many virtues to it. And one of the great virtues of this Mubarak month of Rajab is the close proximity that it has to the blessed month of Ramadan. We find that it is a habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whenever the month of Rajab dawned, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to begin reciting the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. That, oh Allah, bless us in this month of Rajab and in the month of Sha'ban which comes after, and oh Allah, make us reach this month of Ramadan. Now it was the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to witness the Mubarak month of Ramadan, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to prepare the ummah for the coming of the month of Ramadan from the start of Rajab. Now we find that any great event that takes place, or any function, or any gathering, whatever other form of event that takes place, it requires a lot of preparation in advance. Sometimes weeks, and sometimes months in advance. This month of Ramadan, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it is a very, very Mubarak month. And it requires a certain amount of preparation also. And the preparation we are talking about is not that preparation that we are witnessing nowadays in our homes, wherein our freezers are being filled, and whatever other preparation is taking place regards to food. But the preparation that I'm talking about is with regards to increasing in our amal in the month of Ramadan. So this begins from the month of Rajab. Be it increasing in our salah, be it increasing in begin preparing ourselves to start fasting, and whatever other ibadat, tilawat of the Quran, etc. It begins now in the month of Rajab. So this month of Rajab is a stepping stone for the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Together with that, my respected elders, one of the greatest events that took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Mi'raj. And we find that the Mi'raj took place at such a time when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through a lot of hardship and difficulty in his life. The year prior to the Mi'raj taking place was referred to as Amul Huzn, the year of grief, the year of sorrow, year of difficulty. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through a lot of difficulty. What was the boycott that took place in the valley of Abu Talib, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They were boycotted and they went through a lot of hardship to such an extent that Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas mentions that one night I was so hungry and they were not allowed to purchase any food. No food was sold to them. He says, I was so hungry one night and I was walking dark in the darkness of the night in search of some food, and my foot stepped upon something that was moist. So I took it, and without looking at it, it was dark. I could not see what I put in my mouth. But because it was something that I felt I could eat, it was moist. So I put it in my mouth, and I consumed it. And up till today, I do not know what I ate. He also mentioned that once, he was so hungry, he saw the rotting skin of an animal. So he took it, and he burnt it. And thereafter, he made it into a form of powder, and he mixed it with water, and thereafter he drank it. Such was the desperation, and such was the difficulty that they endured at that time. So after this difficulty that took place, an agreement was drawn in the Kaaba regarding this boycott that was to take place. So Abu Talib, even though he was not a Muslim, but he pledged his allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he also went through this boycott with the family. So he, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi informs him that agreement has now been eaten up. So he goes to the leaders of the kuffar and he informs them that this agreement has now been eaten up. So they began inquiring from him that how do you know? So he says that my nephew has told me, and I do not have one doubt that whatever my nephew says is 100% the truth. I have no doubt in whatever he says. And Abu Talib went to this extent and said that if what my nephew sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying is not the truth, then I'm prepared to hand him over. And the kuffar took this and they went and they saw that true to the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that entire agreement was eaten up except the words that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim that were written at the top of that agreement. So the boycott ended, but it did not come it came with a great amount of difficulty. And after the boycott, shortly after the boycott, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost two very, very great pillars of support in his life. One was his beloved uncle Abu Talib left this world, and the second was Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was a great pillar of support for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if this was not difficult enough for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thereafter Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to an area called Taif. Lengthy incident, we're not going to the finer details, but they harmed Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to such an extent that when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left that town, the entire Mubarak body of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was flowing with blood. So these were all the difficulties that took place prior to Mi'raj, and many ulama of the opinion that it was as a reward for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that after all these difficulties and hardships in the Mubarak life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops the clock and takes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this Mubarak and blessed journey. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawla, that from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa and thereafter to the seven heavens, and right thumma dalafa dalla, a few arrow lengths away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was after the suffering that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced. Friends and elders, there is also hikmat and wisdom behind one is the Isra and one is the Mi'raj. The Isra was the journey from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa, and thereafter was the Mi'raj. Even that venue of Isra, Masjid al-Aqsa, there was also hikmat and wisdom behind that. We find that this was the Qibla, the first Qibla of the Muslims. And many Anbiya salatu wassalam were from that area. Many places in the Quran and Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the land of Aqsa as the blessed land. Barakna hawlahu. Allah ta'ala says that we blessed that area around Masjid al-Aqsa, that Mubarak land of Palestine. which unfortunately today we find that it is in the hands of disbelievers, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat free Palestine and return it back to the rightful hands of the believers. This was the land of Anbiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah refers to Palestine in the Quran in other places also. وَلِسُلِيمَانَ الرِّيحَ عَاصِفَةً تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala had given him many, many bounties and many, many favors. Allah Ta'ala had given him a very, very vast kingdom. He made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ هَبْلِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. That, oh Allah, bless me with a kingdom that nobody else had before me. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with such a vast and such a powerful kingdom that not only did he have control over humans, over mankind, but he had control over jinnat, he had control over the birds, he had control over the fish in the sea, he had control over all the animals of the jungle. Allah Ta'ala had given him a very, very vast kingdom to such an extent that one incident is mentioned in the Quran, and in fact an entire surah has been named after this incident, Surah Naml, wherein the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam was marching. And Sulaiman alayhi salam even had the ability to hear the whispering of the ants also. So this was the kingdom of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. And Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding this also that the wind used to transport Sulaiman alayhi salam to that land, Ardil lati barakna fiha, that land we had blessed also. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Ibrahim alayhi salam when Allah Rabbul Izzat had saved him from the fire. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That we had saved Ibrahim alayhi salam from that fire to that land which we have blessed. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding Lut alayhi salam, أَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We saved Lut alayhi salam also. Lut alayhi salam was a Nabi. Allah sent to a nation. That area was called Sodom. You know, they had engaged in a very, very despicable act. They were the perpetrators of the act of homosexuality, and it had become such a norm in their society. Lut alayhi salam goes and he pleads with them that ha ulai banati hunna atharu lakum fattaqullah wala tukhzuni fi dhayfi, that these are my daughters, referring to the women of the ummah. A Nabi obviously is the father of the ummah, and all the women of the ummah were the daughters of Lut alayhi salam. So he tells them that do not engage in this evil act of yours. And this is what Allah Ta'ala has created for you, pure. أَطْهَرُ لَكُمْ. It is the most pure thing for you. And refrain from your evil action. Friends and elders, they did not listen to the order of the Nabi. And Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. Allah Ta'ala destroyed other nations also. But when Allah Rabbul Izzat destroyed the nation of Lut alayhi salam, that it was just not one punishment that Allah sent upon them. But because of their act, this evil act of theirs, and many places Allah Ta'ala refers to the nation of Lut alayhi salam, the nation of Sodom and their act of sodomy, how Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. Allah Ta'ala sent down three different azabs and punishments upon them because of this immoral deed of theirs. First Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَخَذَتُمُ صِيحَةُ مُصْبِحِينَ فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا صَافِلَهَا. First the scream seized them. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala lifted up this entire nation of Lut alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala lifted them up so high that the barking of the dogs of the nation of Lut alayhi salam could be heard in the first heavens. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala turned this nation down and crushed them. And this was not sufficient. Allah Ta'ala thereafter sent down upon them, rained upon them boulders and rocks, and destroyed their entire nation. That to such an extent they were obliterated and destroyed, that land, even till today, no benefit can be taken from that land. Why? Because of this despicable act of theirs. Unfortunately, we find that this deed is now gaining prominence and prevalence again in society. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us, protect our progenies. Undoubtedly, Quran is very, very clear about it, friends and elders. There can be no debate with regards to the Sharia status of it. It is clearly haram and mentioned clearly in the Quran Majid in many, many places. May Allah protect us. So friends and elders, Allah Ta'ala mentions that we saved Lut alayhi salam and he took refuge also in this Mubarak land, this blessed land of Palestine. Friends and elders, so this was the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Makkatul Mukarrama to Masjid al-Aqsa and thereafter to the seven heavens. So the sabak and the lesson of Mi'raj is what? That after the difficulty and the hardship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his journey. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala gave him a guidance for mankind. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sta'inu bis sabri was salah. That after all the difficulty, after all the hardship that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through, Allah Ta'ala now gives this gift of salah to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Initially it was 50, and thereafter it was brought down to 5 salah, 5 times daily salah, 5 times salah with jamaat in the masjid has been made compulsory upon this ummah. And this was not placed as a burden upon this ummah, but rather as a gift and as a blessing for this ummah. That after all that hardship that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through, now Allah Ta'ala gives him this as a sort of comfort for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that you want the closeness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, seek the help of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala with patience and with salah. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٍ. That this salah, 5 times daily salah with jamaat in the masjid which we are performing, this is a mi'raj of every believer, that every barrier is now removed and he is in direct conversation with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The closest that a banda of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala can ever be with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is when he's in sajda in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this gift of salah was given as a tool, as a means of gaining closeness to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Friends and elders, this Mubarak month of Rajab has come, and this is the sabak and lesson of Mi'raj, and this is the sabak and lesson of this month of Rajab, that to bring about the salah in our lives. Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah on this point I will terminate. Nabi Akrim sallam had seen many things also during this trip of Mi'raj. He was shown Jannat, he was shown Jahannam, he was shown the reward and the virtue and the enjoyment and the bliss of Jannat. And together with that, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also saw the punishment and the azab of the people of Jahannam. And that is why it was the worry and the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after being shown Jannat and being shown Jahannam, that how each ummati of this ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be saved from the fire of Jahannam and be taken into Jannat. Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the punishment of the various gunas and sins also, specific gunas and sins, like the punishment of those that were engaged in riba, like the punishment of those who were engaged in lies, like the punishment of those who were engaged in backbiting, in ghibat. And together with that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also shown the punishment of those who are unmindful and who neglect their salah, who leave out their salah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to bring about the sabak and this lesson of mi'raj and carrying out our 5 times daily salah with jamaat in the masjid. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.